There are thousands of stories of heroism that came from the Vietnam War, and John Milholland of Bryan sometimes finds it difficult to talk about his. He was an F-4 pilot stationed in Da Nang when one night on his 67th mission over the jungles, his Phantom was shot down. He ejected, but his crisis was only beginning. Over the next 3 days, John Milholland will tell his story on Bravo Brazos Valley, a story that started in the holiday season of 1966.
I arrived in country at Da Nang and on Christmas Day, or actually the day before on the 24th. Bob Hope had his Christmas show at Da Nang on the 24th and came to Saigon on the 25th. And so I passed him in the air and missed the entire Bob Hope Christmas show. So I never got to see it live, but I always enjoyed those.
Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates. Now let's set the scene. John Milholland, Phantom pilot out of Da Nang, one of Vietnam's hotspots.
We were flying F-4 missions over North Vietnam. I had 66 missions over North Vietnam when in April of 23rd of 1967, we got up, we had a mission over North Vietnam. We were going to be what we call a CAP mission. And basically what that was, the F-105s, the Thunder Chiefs, did most of the striking at the bridges and the infrastructure of the North. And they were not quite as agile as the F-4s. So we flew what we call CAP over the top of them. While they were down dropping their bombs, we would actually fly over the top of them to protect them from MiGs and anything that might be a threat to them from the air.
April 23rd, 1967, just one more mission? Not hardly.
Just as we got in the target area, we got a call from Big Eye. Now, Big Eye is an AWACS aircraft that was flying out over the South China Sea, and they actually monitored the air battle over North Vietnam. And they called up and told us, this Big Eye on guard. They had two unidentified aircraft taking off from an airport in North Vietnam, and that they were headed our direction. We immediately, at that point, pull the aircraft up and jettison the centerline tank that we were carrying so that we could maneuver more rapidly, and started searching for the MiGs.
John Milholland still wonders why his thoughts went where they did when his F-4 was hit that day. War does play tricks with the mind.
When the two MiGs came in, they immediately realized, the MiGs did, that this was not 105s, but F-4s, and they refused to stay in fight with F-4s. It was actually a good day in that situation because both of the MiGs were shot down. Lead and three got a confirmed kill of a MiG that day. And as we were flying just northwest of Hanoi over the Red River at a little town called Yen Bay, we were about 8,500 feet, and it was sort of a congratulatory party over the radio as we were telling everybody great deal and how everything was going well. And all of a sudden, it reminded me of when I was in high school. I was driving down the highway, and I ran over a dog, and I felt this tremendous bump on the road. And then I stopped, and I couldn't find anybody that owned the poor dog, so I had to take it home and bury it. But here I am flying at 8,000 feet in an F-4 going 450 miles an hour and felt a bump. And the first thought in my mind was, where did that dog come from up here? So it didn't take me long, though, to realize that it was not a dog, but that we had been hit by probably an 85-millimeter shell.
Tomorrow we will continue John Milholland's story. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Phantom pilot John Milholland of Bryan, stationed in Da Nang. It was his 67th mission over South Vietnam. When we left you yesterday, his F-4 had just been hit by ground fire while chasing a MiG. It was, without a doubt, a time to think about life and death, but mainly a time to act, to survive. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley for Meese & Associates. The story continues. Here's John Milholland.
We had gone down chasing the MiG down toward the ground, and so we were climbing up from about 500 or 600 feet when we actually got to about 8,000 feet, and that's where we felt the thump. Of course, we were still flying in a two-ship, and immediately after we got hit, we started, there are two folks in the aircraft, and we started looking around to see what kind of systems were being affected. We got the burners lit, and we got the nose up, got the aircraft trimmed, so it was in a climb. And the other aircraft, of course, came back behind us and was monitoring our aircraft. Mm-hmm. They flew up underneath us, and they were calling out to us, you've got four basketball-sized holes in the bottom of the airplane. You've got three, you know, and on and on and on, trying to help us understand what the situation was. But at that point, we were still in the Red River Valley, and our objective was to get to it was to the northwest, up over the mountains, up out of the Red River, so that we could, if we did have to eject, we would be up over the mountains and hopefully a little safer than we knew in the valley. So we were able to climb, and as we continued our climb, the aircraft started to come apart, basically. Just before we had to eject, I remember the only control we had was with our rudders, and I had both of my feet on the right rudder to keep the aircraft from rolling. And finally, the other aircraft that was now following underneath us finally called out and said, hey, you guys are burning bad. You've got to get out of it. So at 28,000 feet, we made the decision to eject, and at that point, if you can imagine the wildest carnival ride you've ever been on in your life, and you multiply that by 10, that's exactly what the ejection was like.
Wow.
As I reached down and pulled up on the ejection handles, there is actually a cartridge in the seat that fires, and then a rocket lights, and you are sent on a really wild ride.
So ejection accomplished, parachute deployed, but now the mountains.
And now I have to fall from 28,000 feet down to where the parachute is supposed to open between 10 and 12,000 feet. And as I'm falling, I'm looking around, and this is unbelievable, but some of the mountains are 12,000 feet tall right where I was going down. And I kept thinking to myself, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I'm going to hit a mountain. And luckily, my brain caught up with me and reminded me that everything had worked properly so far. There was no reason to do anything stupid. And so I stayed right with the seat, and just about that time, the next thing I knew, the lap seat, the lap belt opened, I was ejected out of the seat, and I was hanging in the parachute. And that was very mild compared to the actual injection out of the aircraft.
John Mill Holland's memorable experience was not over by a long shot. The rescue that nearly never happened. That's tomorrow.
Conclude the amazing I'm Tom story Turbeville. Of
this is John Mill Holland of Bryan today, F-4 pilot, who had been shot down somewhere over North Vietnam and was alone on a mountainside waiting for the helicopter they called the Jolly Green to come rescue him. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. John Mill Holland talks about the first attempt to rescue him out of the jungle.
I can see the helicopters up there, and the helicopter comes and it gets right above me, and I can watch it sitting there trying to hover. The tree penetrator is just within grasp almost, and then the helicopter breaks off down the mountain.
How did he feel? What do you think?
I'm scared.
Yes.
You know, these guys are leaving and they don't have me on that helicopter. So I grab my radio out and say, hey guys, where are you going? And they come back and say, oh, no sweat. We're going to go down the mountain and we're going to dump some fuel because we're too heavy to hover. And so I say, okay, great, I'll wait. So I wait, and about 10 minutes later, sure enough, here they come back. And the helicopter flies up and it gets right above me, and it's sitting there trying to hover the tree penetrator. And I knew in my mind that if I could get one finger on that tree penetrator, I could go all the way back to South Vietnam hanging on one finger. But it just didn't quite get close enough. And the next thing I know, the helicopter is saying, and it goes back down the mountain.
Then after that second pass, he was waiting for a third, but he found himself alone.
5 minutes pass and nothing. 10 minutes pass and nothing. 20 minutes pass, and so now I'm starting to get worried because now it is dark. It's 8 o'clock at night and it's dark. And I listen as all of the aircraft that had been flying overhead start to fly away, and they all disappear. So I grab the radio out, and not a soul will talk to me. Later, I learned that radio had gone bad or broken during this period of time. I wasn't able to hear any of the instructions or any of the things that any of the guys were telling me. And so here I was on a mountain by myself in North Vietnam, and it's dark, and I'm scared, but
he remembered what the Air Force had taught him over and over and over.
The one thing that they pounded into our brain is if we don't pick you up the first day, we'll be back at first light.
Next morning, at first light, the rescuers left Laos to come and get John Mulholland. But when they arrived, there was a problem, a big problem, fog, thick, thick fog.
It was at that point that I finally said to myself that, John, you've had all the training that you can get. You've done all the things that you're supposed to do. The Air Force has expended all this expense, the money and the manpower. Everyone has done everything that they can do. But here you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you've basically left one important aspect out of this whole scenario. And like I say, it was just something that came into my mind, and I said to myself, Lord, I need your help. And it wasn't probably 30 seconds later that I felt a breeze across my face. The fog lifted, and there was the helicopter directly above me. And they dropped the tree penetrator down, and I opened it up, strapped it around me, climbed onto the helicopter, and we exited the area.
The adventure was not over. That helicopter had a fuel problem, had to make an emergency landing, got on another helicopter, and finally made it to safety. And we're glad that he did. Vietnam hero. From Brian, John Mulholland, that's his story. Salute a veteran. Thank a veteran today. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.